Q.
Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside the hull of Jolly Roger's studio. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online, worldwide, or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week, Jolly Roger's studio, where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question.
Always.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. And this week, that movie in question, which will inspire our top three, as always, is the much-anticipated film from last year, All Is Lost. Man at Sea, Battling the Elements. We're talking about Robert Redford. And only Robert Redford, by the way. I didn't see a volleyball or nothing in this one.
Thank God.
So if you've seen this film, keep listening. See if you agree or disagree with our take on it. Or if not, hey, man, even better. You keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. Right. And that's how the game is played.
Kind of.
We're not going over this game.
Okay. Yeah, that's how the game is played initially. Sure. So I'm Michael, along with, as always, to my left, James Hardsub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Savage. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, let's just leave it at I'm doing okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to leave it at, well, actually, I'm doing better than okay. You want to know why?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, because I didn't do a bunch of flips in the bottom of a boat.
Okay.
Yeah, awesome. I didn't have to try to repair my hole.
Your dinghy?
I didn't have to repair my dinghy with some old, outdated Elmer's glue. Yeah.
Old fiberglass.
I wasn't surrounded by a bunch of shoes that were way too small.
Yeah, that's
stupid
not
shoes.
Yeah.
Stupid shoes.
That's ignorant shoes. Yeah, so I'm doing okay, Savage. I'm glad you're doing well.
I'm doing well.
Always so good to see you.
Thank you, sir.
It's equally good to see the man to your left week after week, and that is Matthew St. Hoodie, the patron saint of quality outerwear.
I just want to say that there was some quality outerwear in this movie.
I was going to ask you, quality and appropriate. I'm talking about his orange slicker.
It may have gone on a little late, but definitely appropriate. It was good to see.
Yeah. I'm all wet. Let's put on the raincoat. I was going to ask you, because that truly is quality outerwear. We found a film.
Good to see.
Yeah, and it was appropriate, too.
Brought a tear to my eye.
It did.
About time.
Yeah, and speaking of appropriate and well-placed, that is the guy to your left. That is...
Always
I
well like
that. I set you up so nice.
I know. I like that.
You want to go sailing?
Sure.
You and me in a boat?
I could go to my uncle's.
Facing the elements?
We can get a boat.
Yeah. Okay.
On a boat.
Now this I want to see.
That's a pontoon boat. I'm not getting on that thing.
No, it's not.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Well, you're Max Gumbo Johnson.
I am.
Yeah.
And I have risen from the sea to be here with you today.
Put the trident down, sir.
I say.
And speaking of playing with your dinghy, let's go over to our let's go over to our producer. He's in his producing cube.
Ahoy.
Chips Ahoy. Oh. There he is.
Ahoy.
Ahoy. I'm not taking orders from that. That's not a good captain's ahoy.
Chip Ahoy.
Chip Ahoy. That sounds like
that's
Chips Ahoy.
Okay. That's your
I
name.
Want a Chip Ahoy. I'll have a Chip Ahoy.
So that's us. And that is, let's reiterate that. That is our producer, Adam the Bomb Rogers.
Ahoy, ahoy.
Let's talk about how to keep up with us, because there's several ways to do so.
There's a lot.
And we're talking any way you want. We're talking Facebook. We're talking Twitter. We're talking iTunes, Google, YouTube, YouTube channel, whatever you want. But why not just go to our site, Savage?
Yeah.
Why don't we just do this? Go to theqfilmcast.net.
You're dang right.
Go Q-Q. You're
dang right.
Dang right. Yeah. You're like Shaft.
That was a self-edit. That was a self-edit, and it sounded ridiculous. You aren't tooting. Go to theqfilmcast.net. There you'll go, and you'll see us. You can learn more about the show. You can leave your own reviews about this film or any film in particular.
There you'll go.
There you'll go. I'm ordering you. There you will go.
It's not a question.
Yeah, that was odd, too. I'm off to an odd start, but
this
I feel
is crazy.
Good.
Keep going.
I feel good about this show, though, Max Gumbel Johnson.
Me, too.
And I say we get into it. So you've been to theqfilmcast.net, so now we're going to get into the show. That sounded stupid.
No, that's fine.
Okay, so let's get into this one, guys. Once again, All Is Lost, 2013, right?
Yeah,
it is 2013. Yes. I'm sorry. I thought maybe it was 2012. I'm looking at my notes here. 2013 for sure. Last year's film, which I think we haven't done this in a while, picked out a fresh one.
A newer film.
A newer film. That's really? A better way to say it.
Been a while. I know. Coriolanus was what?
Yeah, 2011.
2011.
That's probably the most recent one we've been. Yeah.
But I think this is good. I'm excited about this. This film here stars Robert Redford and, once again, only Robert Redford.
There was another guy. With the
Thing
the
was in it.
Yeah, The Thing.
Right? The Thing was in it.
Or just Thing.
You know what, though? You're right. There was another hand in that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it like a stunt hand, you
think? We'll call it their guy.
Right.
Yeah, because he's our guy.
We're talking about a lean cast and a lean setup when the only character is called R-Man.
Right.
And that's the character who plays R-Man. Written and directed by J.C. Chandor. There's only one thing that you can reference back to this guy, and that's Margin Call.
Margin Call.
Have you seen it?
Yes. That was a good movie. He's got another one he's about to put out, too. I can't think of the name of it. This guy's got some talent.
Yeah, I guess so.
I thought it was the guy from Broken Lizard.
A Most Violent Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Most Violent Year. Yeah,
there it is. Yeah, Most Violent Year.
Yeah, that's coming out this year, I think.
Mm-hmm. But basically, he's known for Margin Call. That's what got him this job. Apparently, he wrote this script, put it out there. It was picked up. Redford said, I'm in. Guy from Margin Call writes and directs this film.
32-page script.
Really?
Crazy.
You could have written that with crayon.
All 30 of those pages, it just says water noises.
Maybe so.
Right. Well, let's talk about who picked this film, who queued it up, and who selected it. And that is Matthew St. Hoodie.
That's me.
So let's get into this, Matthew St. Hoodie. Why did you pick this film for review?
I remembered wanting to see it, then I forgot that it existed, and then I saw it on Netflix and decided to watch it. And right from the get-go, I was on the edge of my seat and pretty much didn't move until the movie ended. Coincidentally, I told my dad to see it, and who told me a long time ago, I didn't put that together until just now, to watch Margin Call. Go figure. So we're trading this director back and forth, and he was like, yeah, that's a great movie. This guy's so stupid. I was like, what are you talking about? This guy is one of the smartest guys on film. Here, what do you mean stupid? And then we had a big argument about that.
Well, you're talking about Redford's character being stupid.
He was like, this guy's just so stupid. I'm like, wow, no.
You know, I would have said that too. Then I looked into this film. We can get into this here in a bit, but apparently a lot of sailors say he's pretty stupid in this movie. I didn't really, I mean, there's some sailor snobs out there who ripped this film up.
You can say that he can't sail or he can sail, but you can't call him stupid.
No, you can't call him stupid.
That's the argument.
No, not at all.
Nah.
Let's do this, guys. Let's get into IMDb, Rotten Tomatoes, like we always do every week. Defer back to some of the critics, some of our peers. Maybe we're their peers at this point.
That's what I say.
That's what I'm saying.
Because we're critical of the critics.
Yeah, let's criticize the critics for a minute.
Kneel before Zod.
Kneel before the gumbo. IMDb, guys, let's get into this, what they thought. We don't know who they are. It's a mystery. But IMDb.
Right.
Savage, I always go to you. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to not. Okay. I'm going to go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. I'm going to flip the 32-page script. And something points something, Max. You tell me.
You don't have to tell me. That's
what,
him.
You what know. Do you think?
IMDb, I'm going to say 7.2.
You're close. You're close. I'm going to go with 6.9 here is the reality.
That's pretty close.
Wow. That's not bad.
It's not too bad. It's
Coriolanus territory.
0.3.
Yeah, it's Coriolanus territory.
0.3%.
How depressing.
Points off.
I don't even think you cheated. That was like a legitimate, let me analyze the data and come up with a number.
I've looked, but I don't remember. I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm looking at Matthew St. Hoodie. He's going to tell me what Rotten Tomatoes said. Critics-wise. On Rotten Tomatoes.
It's got to be higher than...
It's a percentage.
It's a percentage.
Okay.
87.
Keep going up.
9.
I'll give you one more shot.
89.
93. 93% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes.
Critics.
Told you it was higher.
You remember that big spread we keep talking about between critics? Critics. Between critics and users, Savage. Yeah. How some films, they fall off.
Yeah.
Did this one.
Don't
what did users...
Clues.
What did users give this film? 2013, All Is Lost.
Let's see. 78.
63.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. All right.
That's still not a big a swing as Coriolanus. That was almost a 40-point swing.
Okay, this was a dead up 30. So that's
the
that.
Users, man. They're losers.
Users are losers.
We're going to find out if they're losers or if we're losers on that one. So we'll get into that. Let's talk about this film, 2013, All Is Lost. Let's talk about what it is.
Sure.
Robert Redford on a boat, and it goes something like this. Deep inside a solo voyage in the Indian Ocean, an unnamed man, Robert Redford, who they refer to as R-Man in the credits, wakes to find his 39-foot yacht taking on water after a collision with a shipping container left floating on the high seas. With his navigation equipment and radio disabled, the man sails unknowingly into the path of a violent storm. Despite his success in patching the breached hull, his mariner's intuition and a strength that belies his age, the man barely survives the tempest. Using only a sextant and nautical maps to chart his progress, he is forced to rely on ocean currents to carry him into a shipping lane in hopes of hailing a passing vessel. But with the sun unrelenting, sharks circling, and his meager supplies dwindling, the ever-resourceful sailor soon finds himself staring his mortality in the face.
Ow!
Okay, guys, let's take a break. Let's listen to a bit of a trailer from this film, 2013, All Is Lost, with Robert Redford. I think we can put a trailer together for this one, can't we, Hoodie?
I got it.
You got it.
I nailed it.
He's got it. He nails it. Here it is.
Virginia Jean,
with an SOS call, over.
This is Virginia Jean, with an SOS call, over. This is the Virginia Jean, with an SOS call, over.
You're listening to the Q Filmcast, and that's a trailer from the film we're talking about tonight. 2013, Robert Redford, All Is Lost.
Our man.
I thought we had, well, he actually is our man. That's
He's
what
our
I
man.
Mean. Interesting, yeah. Our man from the film. Tell you what, guys, we're going to get into, obviously, what we thought of this film.
Sure.
But you know what we do every week. Max, you know what happens here.
I know what happened.
Did you know, let's get into some facts about this thing. Did you know that Robert Redford, at age 77, says the most grueling aspect of the shoot was not the stunts, for which he insisted on performing himself.
But being waterlogged all day.
He said it was the waterlogged. He was perpetually waterlogged. Because, you know, I'm thinking to myself, watching this film, boy, that's some chafe. You're setting yourself up for chafe.
Right.
That dude was wet.
I didn't know he was 77.
Yeah, he's a strong,
wow,
stout 77, I tell you that, man.
Looking good.
Yeah.
Good on him.
My God, yeah, that's one of the more impressive parts of this film, actually. 77-year-old man doing this. I don't care if it's CGI or not.
Right.
Which it wasn't. When it was screened out of competition at the Cannes Film Festival 2013, the film received a reported 9 minutes standing ovation.
Wow.
Whoa.
That's amazing. I don't think I could stand up for 9 minutes.
But it didn't get 10 minutes.
Wow.
That's
speaking
awful.
Speaking of being old.
I wonder who counted. It was like, that was not 10.
Doesn't it seem like it would have been at Sundance?
I got it.
Yeah, obviously the Redford tie-in. Well, he didn't want to be a homer. You know, he went over to France. Filmed almost entirely without recorded live sound. Local sounds of water and wind were sampled for reference at the end of each daily shoot.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that. Can you believe that?
I can.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, that's the way you do it.
They did a great job.
Yeah,
they did fantastic.
Producer, did you know that the director adhered to what he termed as his bungee cord rule?
I love that.
Yes.
I read that.
You know what the bungee cord rule is?
Yes.
It's a general shooting principle, whereas the camera could not be above, below, or farther from Redford than the cord could be stretched.
Mm.
Interesting.
Well, some bungee cords are longer than others.
That's
I'd
right.
have to throw that
He's
in
got there. A special one, I'm sure.
Yeah. Currency.
It's got a standardized bungee cord.
Oh, probably so. I got one.
What is it?
He lost 60% in his ear, hearing in his ear.
On this shoot?
Yeah. He was hitting the head with a hose or something.
Are you serious?
Yeah, no joke. Ooh. Permanently.
Well, his parts are old. I mean, they're fragile.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, 20 years ago, you hit him in the head, he probably still has his hearing.
Right. Maybe.
Probably punch you in the face.
He probably would. I'm still jealous of that hair, though. That guy has magnificent hair.
He's
For
Robert
God's
Redford.
Sakes, let's talk about the film. And by the way, we don't use thumbs up or thumbs down here. You know why? Because it's dumb.
Because it's stupid?
We don't do this.
No, we don't.
We're above the fray. We got our own bungee cord rule here. And that is, we come up with our own currency. We let the film tell us how we're going to rate it. And tonight, Hoodie, reveal. What are we using?
Children's shoes, I want to say.
Do you want to say it?
He did say it.
I never remember this one.
You said unused children.
Unneeded children's shoes.
Unneeded children's
shoes. How about devastating children's shoes?
Devastating.
They were devastating.
It was devastating when he's like, yeah, what's in this? Is there something in this container I can use? Yeah, shoes. I'm on a boat.
They were the Souls for Souls container.
Oh,
ooh, yeah. You see how he threaded that together? Yeah. Okay, so we're talking about the unneeded, useless children's shoes. I don't know what you want to say. So let's get into it. Let's do this right now. 2013, All Is Lost, shooting over to Matthew St. Hoodie. He's on the poop deck. He's raring to go.
I'm feeling it.
What you got, man?
I'm between a 9 and a 10 on this one. Going to go for a 9 right now.
Yeah, this one sat well with you, did it not?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll get into why here in a little bit, but yeah, let's leave it at that, man. Leading off hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what about you, Gumbo Johnson? He has a 9, between 9 and 10, sitting at 9. We're talking about useless pairs of shoes.
This is a tough one. I'm sort of in the same boat as him, no pun intended. What the hell, pun intended. I'm going to have to go with a 9. 9 unneeded children's shoes, which is not an even pair, which is makes them really unneeded.
It's even worse.
Yeah. Have you noticed that a lot of children's shoes these days light up when they walk? You ever see kids walking around with shoes lighting
probably
up all
not
the time?
In the ocean, but...
How come we didn't have those as kids?
We did. You just weren't hip.
Ours, mine were the pump ones. You had to pump them.
I had kangaroos. They had a little pocket in them.
Oh, the Jordan pump-up shoes.
Yeah. Just pump it. Pump it up. Just pump it.
My Adidas. Boy, we're dating ourselves. I'm getting way off track. I'm going to go. I usually say myself for last. I'm going to jump on in here. I'm going to keep the train going. I'm going to give this film its intent. It intended to do a lot of different things. Great camera work, ambiguous storyline, lean script. And it intended to make me wonder about this film and fall in love with it, and I did. I'm going to go 9.
Oh, look at it.
I watched it once at 8, when it jumped back in, cannonball style. So let's go back and watch this again. 9. I'm at 9.
All right.
I watched
Doing
it twice
good.
And went up. I'm at 9. I'm going to jump on the 9 train.
All right.
Move along. Let's
feel like
keep
it's
going.
A party.
Yeah. 3 9s. We're going for
this.
A full house? Can
we
go for
we had a full house.
Almost.
No, we had it one time.
We did, maybe.
I can't remember. Whatever. But Savage, you know the routine.
I do.
Shoes. We're talking about useless children's shoes.
Well, I can't get on the 9 train with you guys. I like the film.
So you're going to a 10 train?
No. I like the film.
Son of a...
But it's a gimmicky thing. The preposition is a gimmick. And, you know, I was intrigued with the gimmick. They let me down immediately. So I'll give it a 7.
And I think I know where he's going with the gimmick thing because that is one knock I have on the film.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
And we'll talk about curious about this. I can't think of
you might get me up to an 8.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it. So
yeah, Adam, how bored were you? I'm just going to ask you that question.
Actually, I was on board.
You talk about stomping it and threading it together.
Mm-hmm. I kind of was hated it at first, and
okay,
I thought I was going to.
I knew there was
it.
A twist.
It really sank my teeth into it.
Oh,
I liked it.
Here we go.
And I give it an 8.
He's going to get up there with an 8.
Yeah.
Fancy. Wow. Well, it is hard not to look at the thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is.
You can't listen to it.
You can.
You can if you have insomnia. You need something to fall asleep to.
It was nominated, too.
Whoa, that's a total knock.
Well, yeah.
And you gave it an 8. Okay.
No, if you just played in the background, you want to fall
asleep. It's like white noise. Hey, by the way, talk about cinematography. Adam, producer, did this not, was it not nominated for Academy Award for the cinematography? I think it was.
It was for sound editing.
Sound editing. I think it had some cinematography love, too.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the love, man. Let's do this.
That's a 42 useless kids' shoes.
Still pretty good.
That's 21 pairs.
That's not bad. I think we all like this film. I'm going to find out for what reasons. I liked it for something I think is maybe off the chart. there's something I really liked about this film, but I want to go over to Hoodie. You queued it up, man. You led this thing off.
Right.
So let's get back with you, man. You're back on the boat. It rolled a couple times on you. You went overboard. You pulled yourself back on. 2013.
I lost the boat. Found another one. Yeah. Burned that one. Found another one.
Right. Yeah, the sharks are circling, though, so hurry up, man. What did you think of this film? Why did you give this
a high rating? I really was on the edge of my seat the whole time. I thought it was fantastic. I don't know about gimmicky. I really don't know how I would apply that word. I'm curious as to that. The only knock I would give it is there were I'm not a sailor, but I have sailed, and there are a few things that I as being just as novice as you can be, a sailor, was like, that doesn't really make sense.
Yeah.
But that kind of played into the story for me, being that he was an amateur sailor almost. So him making the mistakes was fine for me, really. That was kind of excused very early on. That's how this is kind of go. So he's going to make these amateur mistakes, but he's smart enough to be able to pull himself out of it time and time again. And I think that's really where I was intrigued and really, I guess, like you said, fell in love with this character and this story.
Yeah.
On top of that, the mystery with the guy, I really love that they didn't give you anything, not even his name. That was the best move, I think, that this movie made.
Yeah, because if you're going to commit to that, do it this way.
Right. Not the first time so much, but the second time I was watching it, I was really like, where does this guy come from? Okay, he's definitely running from something. You don't just jump into a boat as an amateur and decide you're going to do this willy-nilly. First off, he's got to have the money to have a boat like this and be able to support himself. So he's coming from some. So, the whole time.
Like some reckless wealth.
Yeah, I'm going through this whole thing. How did this happen? He's smart, quick on his feet, kind of alpha qualities, CEO qualities. Right. So I'm trying to put together who this guy is. And that was honestly one of the best parts of the movie, just trying to figure out this dude.
Yeah, it's really the mystery of this man as much as it is anything.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah, that's a big part of why I like this film, too. Let's shoot on over to Gumbo. Get into it. Jump on in, man.
I think in a lesser filmmaker's hands, and we've all seen this sort of thing when there's a guy against nature or he's stranded somewhere, we keep going to these flashbacks and we keep filling in these holes in his character and going, oh, he's got a loving wife at home and his kids are concerned and they're looking for him and blah, 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 blah. The fact that he did not do that, just like you said, you know, you don't really know anything about this guy except the fact that he's got enough money to be able to do this.
Mm-hmm.
They could have easily gone back and did flashbacks and said, you know, he's got kids at home that are waiting on him and they're looking for him and they're putting out an APB on the ocean or whatever.
Yeah, CNN news report.
They could have done captain's logs.
Yeah, they could have done all kinds of stuff. And they didn't go there. They stuck with one character in the boat and his struggle to survive. I'd never seen that done.
No.
Literally. It was, I don't want to say it was totally original.
Refreshing?
It's refreshing, yeah. That's a good word for it. It's refreshing to see that they stuck with one character and didn't feel like they needed to fill this backstory on him.
Mm-hmm.
They just let it be a total mystery. I liked all the other stuff too, the whole story about him trying to survive, but I was so glad to see that they didn't resort to going back.
Right.
You mean gimmicks?
Filling all his stuff. Yeah, that gimmicky stuff. It's old. So the total mystery of who this guy is was really appealing.
Yeah, same thing with me too, man. And that's really what kept me tethered to the entire movie the entire time was this guy. And we talk about gimmicky. I think you're talking a bit maybe, you know, the sharks are going to be there. You know, storm's coming.
I actually said when the shark attacks, I'm turning this thing off.
Which, by the way, I don't want to jump too far ahead of the movie, but I could have at the end, I was waiting for Jaws to come up out of the deep.
You know what?
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Well, not to cut you off, but at the end, I was really rooting for this guy. I'm a very tragic guy. I want to see everybody die at the end of the movie every time. If they don't die, then it's not a good movie.
But with this guy,
I was like, he better get rescued because I am not going to be happy. I am not going to be forgiving if this guy actually dies.
Yeah.
And then he's floating down at the bottom. And I'm like, he better get rescued.
I want to see the director's cut, though, because I know somebody's out there. Let's shoot a scene with a giant octopus coming up here and ripping Robert Redford's beautiful hair off his head.
Let's just make it a Kraken.
Yeah. But I think when you're talking gimmicky, are you talking a bit maybe, okay, I know there's going to be sharks. I know that the water supply is not going to be there when he needs it.
No, I'm not talking about that at all.
Okay, well, I'll let you tell me what that is. But for me, I go back to my intent thing. It intended to do something really special, and I think it did. And it walked the same line Max just talked about for me. It's like, okay, you know what? You committed to something here, and you really pulled it off, especially from me wanting to know who this guy is. There's so many little things in this film that intrigued me about him. For example, he has a ring on his ring finger.
Turquoise.
It's not a wedding ring. Got what is that? He's married to something, and it's not a woman.
He looked like he had a wedding ring on his right hand. I don't know what that was.
Yeah, so it's stuff like that. It's like,
but that's what I'm saying. And when he opened up the box that he went back for, there was a card, and he looked at the card for a second and then put it aside.
I kept waiting for him to get back to that, and he never did.
Right.
But little things like that was like a bread trail. It's like, okay, you need to figure out what is lost. Who is this guy? Because to me, in the end, all was lost for this guy. But it was before he got into the boat.
Exactly.
And he learned that at the end. That's a redemption there, coming up out of the water, obviously, the symbolism there. But his story and who he was became completely engulfing to me. I was engulfed in it. And at the end, I also wanted him to survive. So, yeah, I mean, this film worked for me. Worked for me on many, many levels.
Yeah.
Because we're going to get into the craft of the film.
Yeah.
Which I don't know who this dude is, the margin call guy. Never watched his movie.
Shandor.
This guy. And also the mechanics of the film, okay? Yep. I mean, here's a guy tying a knot. In a regular movie, he's just tying a knot. Here, that knot is life or death.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's a guy looking inside a flooded hull for something. It's life or death. I mean, these things that when you read about this film, people say, well, it's slow or boring to a lot of people. I mean, that's intense to me. I mean, this whole movie was just intensity from beginning to end. Edge of my seat. Yeah, absolutely. So it all works.
Yeah.
It all works for me. And then I love the way the film opened up, too. Here's my calling card. Here's who I am. Reading out the letter, the only captain's log read in the thing. It's basically the only dialogue in the film.
Mm-hmm.
The note that he's writing back to his family.
Or whoever,
yeah. I let you down. I tried hard. I tried to be a good man. Sets the stage, the movie's on, and it just works. So,
yeah.
Savage, let's talk about, I think you said 7 shoes, right?
Yeah, so I could go up to an 8. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree.
Wait, are these shoes or pairs of shoes?
Just shoes. Okay, shoes. Seven shoes.
Yeah. Single shoes.
Yeah. Why did you land on seven? What could have possibly got you up there?
I was intrigued at first when I read the premise for the film, because I'd watched it even before Hoodie had picked it, and I was intrigued. You know, it's like only Robert Redford in the thing. Okay, so that's a gimmick. It's a single actor in a film. I can't recall ever seeing a film with just a single actor.
Yeah.
And no dialogue. Completely intrigued now. Right. Single actor, right. No dialogue. A man against the sea. Yeah, I'm on board with that for sure. Mm-hmm. Then it opens up. Immediately with speech. I'm like, come on, you said
the only speech in the whole movie?
It's not the only speech in the whole movie.
Almost.
Almost is not the only speech in the whole movie.
Burn!
So immediately it's kind of let me down on that, the first premise.
Really?
The one gimmick that it was, you know, one of the two gimmicks it was supposed to do, it let me down immediately. Okay. All right? No, it is a beautiful film. It is a beautiful film. Robert Redford emotes very well. I mean, he's, you can tell what he's thinking. You can tell. And I liked the mystery of the guy. I liked all that. I liked his resiliency. I liked he was quick on his feet. I mean, it seemed like he was up to the challenge of his. Hoodie hit it with he was very alpha. You know, it's just he was very calm,
amazingly calm. Actually,
matter what happened,
like to his detriment, I almost thought.
Yeah. And then there was a when it was CGI, I found that to be distracting because it seemed clear that it was CGI at times. I just found that off-putting because the film is so beautifully shot. It's so beautifully shot, just him on the deck with the sea behind him.
I love the poster, too. That's the shot that they use for the still shot to market the film. Is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And the movie's full of that.
Yeah, it's chock full of it. Yeah. But then there seemed to be a lot of these conveniences. And I don't know why he would ever take a nap. It seemed like every time he took a nap.
He's old. Murder, She Wrote's coming on. He's got to get his nap. God,
something happened. Every time he woke up, his boat was flooded, man.
Oh, man. Guy's got to sleep. Yeah.
Right. But there was the conveniences of it, because you could tell it's like, it had to hit there and ruin all the electronics. And I think that I didn't read any of the knocks from the sailors. I think that's probably, the technicality of those things are probably what
that's one of the knocks, people that he would... Basically, the knock I read was that this looked like a boat that would be equipped in like the 70s, minus the laptop. Right. And even in the 70s, they would probably be more prepared to do a round the world kind of thing in this kind of boat.
But I like your take on it, though, Hoodie. You say that this was also kind of a guy who's just reckless about it. I mean, he's just like, I can take this, I can do this, I'll do it my way kind of thing.
Yeah, I really think he was just really running away from something and running really fast away from something, and he didn't care. He didn't care that his boat was ill-equipped. He just wanted to get out of whatever he was getting out of, go to the open sea. He doesn't care.
See, I like that, because he's not this seasoned sailor who's done this a million times.
I don't
times.
Know that. I don't
it's
know
his
that,
first time out.
I don't agree with that. I thought he was completely comfortable with what he was doing. I mean,
well, obviously he sailed his whole life, but he wasn't equipped to do this. He didn't have the skills to go around the world or whatever he was planning on doing.
I think electronics he would have been.
That just shows that he's smart. But how he patched the boat and how long it took him to patch the boat, I thought. Yeah. I mean, that really bothered me. He's got a hole in his boat, and he's just like looking over the side. All right. He sees the storm coming. He just, chops an onion, cooks some dinner, reads a book. I'm like, what is this guy doing? Does he know something I don't? Yeah. He was just so lackadaisical the whole time. But that really put a lot of tension on me. Yeah.
What about you, Max? Did you buy any of this? Did you pick up on any of this stuff as well?
Or? The whole thing he's talking about, it where, it takes him a while to patch the hole, and he's cooking dinner while he knows the storm's coming. To me, that gave a sense of a seasoned veteran knows, I got time. This is no big deal. I'm going to patch this. It'll dry in 2 hours.
No, but
fiberglass takes some time to work.
I know it does. Yeah. I know it does. Yeah. I've worked with the fiberglass before, the whole sense I got was that this guy knew what he was doing. He knew what he was up against. Mm-hmm. And he realized, okay, I've got time to do this. It's no big deal.
It turns out he was completely wrong.
Yeah, he was completely wrong. But he wasn't, I'll take that back. He wasn't completely wrong.
He was completely wrong. He tried to put up, what is it called?
Fiberglass?
No, the sail, the jib. He tried to put a jib up in the storm.
Yeah.
That's something.
I have no
idea.
You
don't do that.
Not to mention you put your slickers on after you're already wet, too.
You know what I'm saying? So he really saw the storm, decided to eat dinner. Chill.
Yeah.
Watches stories. In the middle of the story, in the middle of the storm, I'm going to try to go put this sail up. And it ends up throwing him overboard and he gets almost tangled up in his sail. And I was like, this guy.
And here in a bit.
This guy here.
Here in a bit, we're going to talk about some of the technical merit of this film, too, because that's where it really, you talk about edge of your seat. Boat rolling, man.
That was amazing.
But I like the fact that this film puts this conversation out there. Who was this guy and why is he so calm? I thought, here's a guy who's
calm.
Whose life has always been, it's just going to work out for me. I've always had things just go my way.
Or he just
it's going to be okay.
Or he just doesn't care anymore.
He's, maybe that.
That's. I think it's a combination of both, to be honest. No, I think the movie is him finding out that he actually does care, and he didn't know that he had all this fight in him. Yeah. It was there. It was residing, but it was at such a minute level. I really think that he just didn't care and found out at the end that, I'm willing to burn everything to make sure that I live.
And so when I originally said that all is lost was possibly gone for him before he got in the boat. I
completely agree with that.
Do you think that's the message of the film, too?
I do, very much.
You know what we need to do? Why don't we listen to that and listen to his his letter and come back. I see your hand raised, producer. I'm saving. You ever heard of best for last? You ever heard of this? I bestow that upon you, sir.
I thought I was best for last.
I think this is a good point to listen to the only dialogue in this film, and that is the letter that Savage says is ill-placed, which... What the hell, man?
You let me down.
You let me down, Bob. You let me down, Bob. But let's check this out here. And then we're going to come back and listen to the producer tell us why he blew our minds with an 8.
13th of July, 4:50 p.m. I'm sorry. I know that means little at this point, but I am. I tried. I think you would all agree that I tried to be true, to be strong, to be kind, to love, to be right. But I wasn't. And I know you knew this in each of your ways. And I am sorry. All is lost here. Except for soul and body, that is what's left of them, and a half day's ration.
2013, all is lost. This is the Q Filmcast, and that's the film we're talking about tonight. So let's get into it a bit more. And I think that was a clip of him reading his, what would be his farewell letter.
To his CFO.
Message in a bottle. Maybe that's to his CFO. Right. Of his many, many companies. Yeah. Although I think I'm picking up what you're laying down is that this is a guy who lives above his means.
Oh,
no. Maybe he worked for Enron. Name.
Yeah. Maybe he worked for Chuck E. Cheese.
I think he's
I don't know.
Banker, and 2008 just killed him.
Maybe he's a world famous actor.
He worked for Freddie Mac. Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So we could go on there, couldn't we? Right. Yeah, let's get into this some more. We did talk quite a bit about Robert Redford's character, who he was, who this guy is. And you better watch out because I could talk about that all night. All
right.
Let's talk about the technical merit of this film. That's the thing that everybody falls back on. Man, great cinematography, great score, you know, all the mechanics of the film. Oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me? The look of disappointment. Yeah. Well, you know what? Listen, you sit in your little producer island over there.
Your little producer spotlight on yourself.
All is lost over here.
That is
Shoot
hilarious.
Shoot your flares. Shoot your flares.
All right, audience, remember what I just said. We're going to get to that, but we have to do this. Producer, my apologies. You gave this film an 8, and we'll get back to the mechanics of this film. We're going to talk about all this stuff, but I want to know why you gave this an 8, because I said to you instantly, tell me how bored you were, and you said you liked the film. Tell me why.
Yeah. He said he was on board with
it. Yes. I loved it. I loved it.
I'm not going to knock it. I had a few things I want to talk about here in a little bit that I did not like about the movie,
okay,
but I thought this was would be a great film for back in the 1940s to be one of those like movie serials before movies. I thought it'd be really good like that, like the
a little long,
but like the flat. Yeah, no, if they're cut out in little segments, hence a movie serial. Right. And also, if I was in this movie, it would definitely not be a silent movie because I would be cussing like crazy.
He would be too. You know, Adam would
there
be
is
just
no
tearing
way.
That boat up.
It would be the most. Obscenity laced movie
it
ever.
Honestly, it would be the most foul movie
have,
of all time.
Yeah, it would have more cuss words than Wolf of Wall Street.
That, knowing you,
that boat would have never made it out the harbor.
That is exactly true.
It would be rated R.
Rated R. Did you hear that?
Yeah. I heard it.
You know what? The producer's on fire tonight, is he not? A ring of fire.
That's right. A pirate joke.
Yeah. So what I'm getting from your producer is that you liked it on its technical form. You thought it was a nice movie to look at.
It looked well.
It was swell.
It was swell.
There it is.
He won't stop. Producer won't stop. No, but I'm with you, man. I mean, I don't see how anybody could look at this film and go, "Oh man, yeah, that doesn't look good. I don't like what I'm looking
These
at.
These guys suck.
These guys suck." I mean,
what is that? An ocean?
Hey,
I've seen that before.
Let's get into the scenes though. As far as the what you say, the edge of your seat scenes, Hoodie. I'm talking about the boat roll scene. To me, That's what did it for me. I'm like, I'm getting seasick sitting on the couch. I mean, those were so well done.
Yeah.
And I actually thought to myself, this is a 77-year-old man getting flipped around in a boat, and he's
handling it very well.
Handling it very, very well.
Yeah,
but all of that. Well. And then when he would go in the hall, out of the hall, out to the deck, and just the way he was getting bombarded with this storm really drew me in. What about you guys? Max, how about you? Let's go over to you first. What do you think about technical-wise on this film? What scenes
Technical-wise,
stood
I thought it was fantastic that they actually went out to the ocean. One of the thanks, the credits actually thanked the Atlantic and Pacific Ocean.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Really?
They're in the thanks and the credits. And then there were some scenes they actually filmed on a lot, but, to actually film something like that, you have to go out to where there's nothing around that's gonna spoil the scene. And they did that. And for Redford to commit to do something like this, I mean, not to knock the guy, but he's 77 years old. He's pretty healthy, apparently.
Sure. Yeah.
But for him to commit to do this himself and say, I'm going to do all my own stunts, that's a pretty ballsy move for this guy.
Yeah.
And I thought it paid off well. It created a consistent character throughout the movie. It created a consistent feel throughout the movie, consistent scenery throughout the movie, a consistent look throughout the movie. Everything looked like it was shot, you know, in one, I don't want to say one take, but it felt like
it was fluid. It flowed.
Fluid. Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Especially in the ocean.
And I like that part of it. I really, really like that part of it. It was, technically, that's awesome. And I read about the whole bungee cord rule.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I never even thought about that, to keep the camera so close to the guy the whole time.
Yeah.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, it really looked like it was just a guy on a boat with Redford.
Yeah, it was a guy on a boat.
Yeah, with Redford. You know, it's just like you could almost believe that there was just one cameraman on the boat with Redford, and they were out in the ocean.
Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Yeah.
That is literally what it looked like.
I mean, obviously, there were hundreds of people in the credits. The credits roll. I mean, there were hundreds of people.
Yeah, but I can imagine on the actual shoot
that
they were out there, there might have been five guys.
No, there were probably five other boats around.
But maybe.
Yeah. No, there certainly was. I mean,
Who knows?
Who cares?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it was technically, it was pulled off brilliantly.
And can I ask you, Savage, when you think about the technical aspect of this film and scenes that really showcase that, I mentioned the boat roll scene, but is there any other ones that stood out to you?
Just, you know me. I mean, beauty goes a long way with me.
Yeah.
And there's just some stunning scenes in this, just beautiful, just nature, clouds, sunsets, and stuff like that. And I liked that he always kind of took the moment to appreciate the sunset.
He did, didn't he?
I knew James was going to talk about that.
Yeah, you know what? Once
he's
again,
got a hole in the side of his boat, and you see him looking out at the sunset.
Yeah. That fell. That did not resonate with me, but I remember this now. Sure.
I mean, he always just kind of did that little moment of zen kind of thing, and he seemed to be a very zen guy.
Yeah,
I mean,
and an alcoholic.
Yeah,
that probably helped.
Well, yeah,
he was drinking four roses. Anyone notice that? He was drinking four roses.
Yes. Yeah, I picked up on that. Yeah.
What the scene that kind of sticks out at me, and I don't know why, because it's such a silly thing, is when he's going in the ship the second time where it's flooded, and he knows that the ship's done.
Yeah.
But let me go ahead and shave.
That was so weird.
Okay,
was,
what do you think that says about him? What did that say to you about him?
What it said to me, and maybe I'm just jaded, it's Robert Redford didn't want to have to do like 3 days growth.
No.
On this ship. You know?
Actually, this is something that bothered me the entire movie, was that he did not have a beard. I know he shaved, but he still would have grew more than what he had.
I think that was just something that they put to explain. It's like, okay, this is why he doesn't have an emergency 5-day out.
That doesn't
compute at all.
I think he knew the boat was sinking.
If it were me on there, I wouldn't have a beard.
The guy was waterlogged for 45 days or whatever. I think he would have committed to grow a beard if he had to.
Yeah.
I think to me, what that says when he shaves, he says, I want to look good for the cameras when I get rescued. It's like the kid in Stand By Me. I brought a comb.
Right. But you don't have any hair. You know what I thought that said to me? I thought that said, okay, this is somehow a battle cry for him. It's time to battle. It's on. I'm going to clean up. This is how I go into battle. I go in feeling like this.
Putting on his armor.
Putting on a bit of his business suit. It was his way to ante up. I don't know what it was.
I'll buy that. But it really did stick out for me, you know? And then there were some of the conveniences. I guess all boats have sextants on them.
No, that was like a special sextant somebody had given him.
No, I know. You could tell it was a gift, and it's like, thank God I had that thing.
Well, that buys into him being an amateur, is that he hasn't even taken that and looked at it. He's reading a book on how to use it.
Celestial navigation. You know,
So,
can I ask you a question about the water problem? Because you knew that was coming.
Right.
You could smell that one. Water and good. You know, salt water got in my tank. Right. Yeah, what was that all about? Now, did the water get contaminated with salt water? Was he not doing it right?
It didn't work.
No, he
it just
left
didn't
the,
work. What was
no,
up with that?
He left the vent open. The back.
Okay, yeah, because he takes the lid off and looks at it like, oh, hell.
And the back vent was open.
But how smart was that guy?
Why? Because he took the and made the dew or the moisture
from the
plastic.
Yeah, he collected the condensation.
Wow,
Boy Scout 101, buddy.
Guy's been watching Mythbusters.
Right. Survivor Man.
Guy's been watching the Bear Grylls, whatever his name is.
So, you know, that's another part.
No, because he had to drink his own pee.
Well, Kevin Costner did.
Right. Got to do it.
Yeah, yeah. He grew gills and was breathing like a fish. Come on. But I like that part of the film, too, and that is all the mechanics of it. I'm going to call it the mechanics of the film.
Yeah.
And that's the way the film was built, too, very much this scene upon this scene upon this scene, and it builds and builds and builds. And that's the way he took on this problem. Just, okay, this thing, and then we're going to deal with this problem, and we're going to deal with this problem.
Yeah.
That was echoed by the fish underneath the...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because it starts out with like an amoeba.
It starts out with just like, a little the rougher water, and then you see the little amoeba thing. Yeah, so that's the escalation of all the problems.
And then you get into the chad fish and the feeder fish, and then the sharks come.
Yep. There it is.
Look at
and
y'all.
Then you see the burning raft. So
great shot, too,
awesome.
By the way.
Yeah, that's great. That. It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then the scene that I want to talk about is when he actually had to let his boat go. He stayed on that thing as long as possible.
That's one I wanted to talk about, too. I'm so glad you brought that up.
All right, you guys talk about it. Are you talking about the scene where he
we'll just look at each other and talk about it?
I know.
It.
We just had an intense moment.
They're undressing each other with their eyes.
Right. Yeah, but he stayed on the boat absolutely as long as he could.
Yeah.
And he even went back. And then he came back. You see the boat. You know, he's drifting away from it. And when the line leaves his fingers, I thought that was the best scene hands down in the movie.
I think so, too. That's a powerful scene, too, because I don't think the boat only – it's not the boat that's going down.
Mm-hmm.
It's his first sense of, I may not get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, when he actually – his hand just lets go of that rope. Of the it was called the Norma Jean.
The Norma Jean,
Virginia Jean.
Virginia Jean.
Was it Virginia Jean? That – devastated me. I was like, oh my god, this guy's done. That's it. This dude, all is lost.
He should have kept the rope.
He should have kept the rope. Life preserver.
I would have collected all his shoes and sold them on eBay. All those floating shoes. There's like a million floating shoes.
Always the entrepreneur.
Yeah. Yep.
Always, where's my buck, you know? All right, guys, I'll tell you what. Let's get off the boat. Let's get into the raft.
Okay.
And let's talk about this from this point of the film, because this is the end of the film.
Yeah.
He's in his inflatable raft, which they never said why it had a hole in it. It ended up getting a hole in the boat. Obviously, you know that's coming. That's one of those little conveniences you talk about.
You ever had a canvas tent? You always get
a hole.
Is that
a metaphor for something? like pitching a tent?
No, you always get a little hole in there somewhere. It's always going to leak somewhere.
A little hole. Yeah.
No, I think they try to explain with a can where you'd open a can or something.
Oh, is that what it was? Okay. Well, he's in the boat. Now he's like, okay, now this thing is on.
Mm-hmm.
All right, maybe I can't get out of this. Now I'm going to have to fight for survival. To me, that's where you start to see him fray. He gets a hole in himself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one word echoed in this film, and I think we were all wanting to say it. When you're out of water, I don't care if you're Pope John, whatever, you're going to scream out the F word.
That was his one line in the movie.
What did you think of that, Max?
I can't believe he held his frustration that long.
Yeah, me either.
I would have been I'd have been kicking stuff around in that little boat way longer than before he did. But the worst part of that, the whole frustration scene in the little survival raft, yeah. Well, he finally says, okay, I'm going to fish. I'm going to try and catch a fish.
Yeah.
He catches a fish, and right when he's got it right at the edge of the boat, and the damn shark comes up and snatches it away. It's like, oh, my God.
There's not a lot of comedy in this film. That really was the comic relief right there, was it not?
And he handled it very stoically.
Yeah, he was pretty classy about the whole thing.
You know, I'm sitting here laughing. They really do need to make this film over with Adam in the line role.
Yeah.
You're right. It would be F-word laden from one end to the other.
You just have one camera on the dock, and you just see the boat flip right out of the harbor.
Okay.
See a five-minute movie.
So now this guy's really pissed off. He's in the boat. His whole boat has a hole in his raft.
Yeah.
Shark just ate his fish. And by the way, great scene there, looking up from the deep.
I love that.
And you start to see the shark circle. Now he's all pissed off. Now hope is lost.
Yeah.
The freight comes by, and he's trying to get to the Madagascar lane. Remember that?
Yep.
What did you guys take from all the near misses? Savage. Yeah. He's firing off these flares. Can't get anybody's attention.
Well, I really thought, and I was kind of hoping that they weren't going to take the easy way out. You know, you first hit, okay, the shipping lanes, and he's figured out the sextant. And he's like, oh, I'm going to get in the shipping lanes. And the Madagascar and the Sumatran shipping lanes,
it looked like they were 500 miles apart.
No, man. I mean, he was way out there. I mean, Madagascar, you just don't get there. That's crazy to be there. But anyway, I thought I was like, okay, so this is how it's going to be in the shipping lane. And then sure enough, another time he fell asleep. woke up.
Mm-hmm. But he's old. He's old. We've established
this. I know, but
it's nighttime.
Every time he falls asleep, he wakes up and something's up.
So are you never going to sleep in like the 8 days that you're lost at sea? Is that how you would do it?
Right. But, and so the first one is like, oh, it's already passed. So he tries to do it. And then the second one, I'm like, oh, here they go. And I really like that they both passed him by. I thought, if we're talking about the endings, I thought the salvation was, I didn't like it.
You didn't like that?
I didn't.
Would you have preferred to see something come up and bite him in half?
Nope. Just fall away.
Did you like to see him keep sinking?
Keep sinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, here's one strange thing I want to bring up. I saw this at the theater. I distinctly remember going to the bathroom after the movie was over, and there was another guy in there that had just walked out of the theater, and we kind of had a discussion in the bathroom. It was like, well, do you think he lived or died? I don't remember the ending being the same.
Really?
No. What
are you saying? They re-edited it for re-release
on TV? I don't know.
TV?
I don't know. But I remember at the theater vividly thinking it was way vague.
Yeah.
More ambiguous. Well,
at the end.
So it wasn't the end?
I don't remember that. I do not remember that.
So you're saying that maybe in the theater it shows him swimming up and then it fades out before the hand reaches in.
It seems like that.
See, I like the hand reaching in.
I needed the hand.
I needed the hand.
I really did. I had to have it end like that. I'd be a broken man in front of you right now if it had ended any other way.
Hey, producer, how often do you need your hand? I'll forgive that. But we're talking about the ending here, producer. Did you see that coming? Did you like the way that wrapped up?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely hated it. Here you go. You got this guy who sets his raft on fire, and he's not that far from the boat, and yet he gives up.
But he
swim to the boat!
What?
You can't swim to the boat in the ocean. You just can't do that. You can see a boat in the ocean, but you can't get there.
It didn't look that far from the camera. He could have swam not that far.
It was a long ways off, and it's the ocean, Adam, and you can't swim against the ocean. You go wherever the ocean takes you. That's the ocean.
I don't care. I wouldn't give up if there's a boat.
And what's the last
right
triathlon you were in? I'm sorry.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
But I like Adam's point, and I really like this, and I found this. I love this part of the ending when he caught the boat on fire.
Yeah.
And I love the irony that fire was the one thing that, surrounded by water,
kind
the
of
fire
thing.
Was the one thing he couldn't survive.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, the ending worked for me because I remember sitting there on the couch, literally almost sliding off of it, going, please, please, please find this guy. You know, I felt like because he
earned it.
I felt like he did earn it, but if they did find him, he would be a different person. All is lost would not be the story of his life. I think he would find everything he didn't know that he lost. I thought it would be a perfect redemption for him if they just gave him one more shot. If life gave him one more opportunity. So I was glad to see that arm reach down and pull him out.
Absolutely.
Spoiler.
He lost the guy who he was and was baptized a new man.
He was baptized.
Hoodie. Is that a tear rolling down?
Probably. Or is that a snotty? I don't know. Whatever.
I'll tell you what. Let's get into some final
I'm glad
thoughts.
Everybody liked this as much as I did because I saw this at the theater. I was like, holy
we know,
crap.
We know.
That was awesome.
Well, you know, I went into it thinking.
Belcourt.
Him and the Belcourt.
Hey, shout out to the Belcourt.
Max is the mayor of the Belcourt. But I remember thinking this is going to be a mechanical film. And I'm glad that it wasn't just that. I really got wrapped up into this guy's journey.
Yep.
And I watched it once. I thought, let's give it another shot. And man, did I really enjoy it that second time. But to be honest, did anybody think that a shark was going to bite him in half?
No, I never thought that.
I would have hated it if it had.
Yeah,
if I had seen any more of the shark, that was really, I said at the beginning, I was like, I do not, and I love sharks. I love sharks more than anybody in the world.
You are Mr. Shark.
And I said, if I see a shark in this thing, I'm going to be very upset.
Yeah. But you know they had this conversation.
That's the easy way out. Yeah, I really don't know. Yeah. You said take the easy way out of this. I thought that
if he had solved
the first problem, you wouldn't have a movie. If he had solved the second problem, you wouldn't have had a movie. I thought that it was a great progression with problems. They got bigger and bigger. It was fantastic.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Like I said, a movie serial.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, guys. Let's go ahead and end that here. That's 2013 All Is Lost, Robert Redford, queued up by Matthew St. Hoodie. Good you did it. Glad you did it.
I did it.
Good on you. Enjoy talking about this film.
Yay, Matt.
You did it.
You know, these always make something rise to the surface, no pun intended.
Right.
This one did. And we're talking about our top three. We're going to get into that. And the word of the day is elements.
That's
nature.
Right.
Top three man versus nature films.
I'm going full on element.
You're going full on element?
Yep.
Okay. I'll tell you what, Hoodie, you want to lead this thing off?
Yep.
Since you're the man.
I do.
You know what? You're our man.
Oh, guys.
go ahead.
Number three is The Edge.
The Edge. Alec Baldwin, Anthony Hopkins.
A bear.
Versus a bear.
Yeah, that was brought up a lot on Twitter, too. Whenever anybody thinks of this film, they think of the bear.
You have to.
The bears.
The bear.
The bears.
The bear.
I've never actually seen this film, but I know it had a bear in it. Isn't that funny?
I love this movie. I don't know. I really liked it. I liked it a lot.
Okay. Let's go over to producer next. Let's go straight around to your left.
Okay.
Top three Man versus Nature films, producer. Go ahead, number three. What's yours?
The Happening. I'm going to get a lot of slack on that one.
I like
that.
I like The Happening.
Okay.
Trees.
Wait, do you like the answer or you like the film?
I like the
film.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like both.
M. Night Shyamalan film.
Ding dong.
Yeah.
I like the premise of it.
I like the premise. Mark, or I can't call him that. He'll sue me.
Go ahead. Marky Mark.
You know, that film was so excoriated that when I watched it, my expectations were Lady in the Water low. Okay.
I'm with James. I like the premise of it, but the acting was just.
Well, you think it was as bad as people say?
Yeah.
I need to go watch that again.
I enjoyed it.
Attack your number three with a vengeance, Max. What is it, number three for you? What is
so
it?
Well.
Day of the Animals. Number three, Touching the Void. The 2012-2013 documentary.
What was it about?
It was about these guys trying to climb a mountain, and it was interspersed with reenactments versus the actual found footage of these guys trying to climb this mountain. It's
phenomenal.
It's mind-blowing.
Really? I know a lot of people liked it.
I love it.
Outstanding, man.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, that's a quality film. I get around
quality
to seeing
that. Total quality
I've had three or four people tell me to watch that. You know what my number three is?
Nope.
I'm going to go ahead and say Grizzly Man.
Grizzly Man.
Tell me a story about a squirrel.
Werner Herzog. Yeah. Do I have that right?
Yep.
Werner Herzog. Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
The man can do two things well in this life, and that is Werner Herzog and Daniel Day-Lewis. We've heard them both. That's Max Gumbo Johnson. But that's in the past. I want to go into the future.
Yeah,
and that is James Hardsub Savage. You're number three, inspired by the film. All is lost. What is it?
Okay. As is my way. I did this a certain way. I'm going with the four elements. We did water with this one. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go with the other three elements. And my earth element is a 2002 Gus Van Sant, Jerry.
Jerry. I want to see that.
Yeah. I have not seen this.
It. Yeah.
I'm
dumb.
Ashamed.
They're dumb. It's Matt Damon and Casey Affleck. They park their car, decide to go walking in the desert.
In the desert.
And forget where they parked.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
That's
see
a great
that.
Film.
I wish
That's
it
a great
was available
answer.
Somewhere. Yeah. I would really like to see
I don't
that.
Know if it's on Netflix or not.
I heard it was really good. Yeah.
So now we're up to number two, and we're talking about man versus nature films, and we're up to Matthew St. Hoodie giving me his number two answer. What is it?
Man.
Man?
I'm so torn.
What is it?
I hate to give Jaws my number two.
Oh.
I hate to do that. Can I
do
it?
Yeah.
Do it. Blaspheme.
What?
But he goes up against a shark in the ocean and stuff, so...
Jaws, number
Jaws.
Two.
Jaws, come on.
It counts. Hell yeah, it counts.
Hey, producer, you want to give us your number two? Man versus Nature film, what is it?
Yeah, Swiss Family Robinson, 1960.
Look at going old
I
school.
I didn't think of that.
Look at him.
Swiss How Family could you not?
Man, he's going deep undercover.
Because they're much better films.
Yowza.
I can't remember.
It's a great story, though.
It is
a classic
it's,
story,
you're right.
Sir.
That
we'll
is. That's not a bad choice.
Not a bad response, producer. But let's go over to Max Gumbo Johnson. What's your number two?
Number two, The Gray.
The Gray, yeah.
Never seen
Starring it. Liam Neeson versus the Wolves.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
Oh, that's awesome.
It
I love
was on
that
Netflix.
Movie.
Oh, is it gone?
I did not like that movie at all.
Really?
I couldn't. I've seen it twice because everybody says, "Oh, you're an idiot for not liking it." I cannot. Get
I would
into
never
that.
Say you're an idiot for liking it.
I like the scene
I
in the film
it a lot.
Where he makes the brass knuckles out of the busted
out of the
bottles,
and then it just cuts to black.
Yeah,
you never
yeah.
get to see the fight or anything.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say for my number two, Never Cry Wolf. Anybody seen this film?
Yeah, with the guy from American Graffiti.
Yeah,
Charles Martin Smith.
Charles Martin Smith. I remember this, my dad taking me to see this film.
Nope.
Man versus Elements, Man versus Nature.
Nope.
He says, drop me off in Alaska. I'll build a tent. Mm-hmm. I'll hang out with the wolves. There you go. That's
I'm
all you need
to
know.
Picking up a theme here. Grizzly
yeah,
Man and Never
saying?
Cry Wolf.
Okay, well then I need to change my number one.
It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Right.
It was a very good movie. Yeah, I'd like to revisit that sometime. Okay. Savage, what's your number two?
Okay, I've done Water, Earth. I'm going with Fire. Backdraft.
Ooh, good
Not
answer.
A bad movie.
Yeah.
Good answer, Ron Howard.
Fire.
Yeah. You had Ron Howard, you had Kurt Russell.
Yep.
De you Niro. Had Alec Baldwin.
De Niro.
Yeah.
Fire was a monster in
I didn't
film.
Think of Backdraft. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. What about you,
Fire.
Hoodie?
Interesting.
What about you, Hoodie? What's your number one?
I have to go Touching the Void. It's that good. That story is that good. It beat Jaws in this category. In this category.
Whoa. That's crazy.
In
me.
This category.
That is a great movie.
To beat Jaws in any category, even like a cooking show category, is hard to do.
That was Max's number three.
Don't want to see it, but I do want to see the producer give me his number one answer.
Oh, easy. Open Water.
Yeah.
Well, here we go.
Have you seen this?
I have not seen it.
You really need to see this film. It's pretty good.
That's what I hear.
This is the third top three. This movie's came up in under a million. This film that we talked about tonight, as well as the Get Me Out of Here situations.
Yep.
Did it come up in that?
It sure did, because I used it. It
was okay. Mine. All right.
I think the sharks were a bit overused. Like, well, they took the easy way out.
You couldn't, like, shoo them away.
Well, like Max said, we talked about it before, he says, that's the way you stay under budget. Right. Just get some real sharks thrown in there.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was your number one?
No, that was his number one.
Oh, sorry, Adam, number one. Okay, what's yours, Max?
My number one is Sorcerer.
Another Roy Scheider film.
Yeah, Roy Scheider. He kicks the elements in the ass.
Do you sense his love for this film?
Oh, I knew it. The second this came up, I knew what Max was going to do.
Sorcerer is... Oh, God, I love that movie. It's fantastic.
You've drawn a line in the sand. You've thrown the gauntlet down. You've screamed from the mountaintops. If this comes on Netflix, we will review this.
Oh, my God, yes.
Okay.
Immediately.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And everybody says... And anybody seeing this, they're going to say, well, that's not a man versus the elements. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
It's man versus nature, hands down.
You know, my number one may be a precursor to the next top three.
Uh-oh.
Which is, I'm talking about Alive. Let's just put it out there. It has to be Alive.
Yeah.
Because those elements were brutal, man.
Somebody had to say it.
Those elements took you down, man.
Somebody had to say it.
They had to say it. I have to go number one. Being honest, that is my number one man versus elements film. Yep. Ethan Hawke with a vengeance, man. Right. Yeah.
Cool.
Carving up a rump roast in that one.
And didn't all the actors have to lose like 30 pounds and then you couldn't even tell because they were wearing so many clothes?
Right? Something like that. Yeah.
It's kind of lame.
Little fun fact, they were PO'd.
Those elements were hellish. Right. Are we up to you, Savage, for number one? Are you going to stomp it and lock it down with your number one? What is it?
We've done water, earth, fire. Wind. Now it's time for air, gravity.
That is actually a lack of elements.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't there no wind in space? Well,
no, in space, no one can hear you scream.
No, it combines all of them because there's the air. There's going to be fire on reentry. There's going to be that ground when you hit it.
So yeah.
It's the best of all answers, gravity.
Absolutely. Those are elements.
No, Sorcerer is the best.
You know what we need to do? Let's do this, guys. Let's get into
Have a group hug?
We can do that in a bit. I'm talking about Twitter shout-out. Okay. I want to get through this real quick because I put this out on Twitter. And let me read through a few here. At movie film buff says The Gray. He said, would cliffhanger count also?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's hanging from a cliff. My God, look at the title of the film. At JP Roscoe 76 says, The Edge, Into the Wild, 127 hours, and thank you for saying Deliverance. I feel better already. Norma Rodriguez at VenUZ4 says, Pompeii. Sure, why not? Kevin Dillon at KevDill316 says, Frozen, 2010. Survival horror.
Is that the Kevin Dillon?
I guess it is. Kevin Crichton says Jaws, The Gray, and Perfect Storm. And
Perfect Storm. Yeah.
He says The Happening. We have here Jeremiah Johnson.
That's a good one.
Open Water, Whiteout, The Core, The River Wild.
Oh, The River Wild.
Yeah. So anyways, there you go. A lot of Twitter shout outs.
A lot of Twitter.
Jeremiah Johnson is more Robert Redford.
That is more Robert Redford, yeah. Thanks to all those guys out there who participated in the Twitter shout-out. We had so much response. I could sit here and probably do a show on that. So thanks for playing along. Gotta love our Twitter followers, man.
They're the best.
They're hardcore. Yeah, well, let's get on with this one here. Let's stick this one in the ground. This is 2013 All Is Lost. 42 out of 50 useless shoes. This thing is on Netflix. It's instant streaming. Let's get into our big reveal. Let me see. Eeny, meeny, miny producer, it's your turn.
Hey.
Let's talk about that, Adam. Follow this film up. Your selection, currently streaming on Netflix. We're going to review the film what?
Oh, Halloween's coming up, so it's got to be some horror.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with a little Ravenous.
Ravenous. You know the film?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Guy Pearce. Yeah. 90,
I've seen this film.
99. Max, you
seen this film? 99.
Never seen it.
I've seen it.
Never
I saw it in
Ravenous?
High school. I have a bit of trivia on this film. Did you know that this was the last thing I ever rented on VHS?
How do you remember that?
For some reason, I don't know why. It was 1999. I think I just bought my DVD player. I remember somehow specifically saying to myself, this is the last thing I'll ever rent on VHS.
Do you regret that?
I'll let you know next week. I think that's funny as hell.
There you go.
That's funny.
Yeah, so we're going to eat that one up. So that's where this one ends. And as always, thank you for tuning into The Q. If you'd like to offer your thoughts on this film, or any film we reviewed for that matter, we don't care. You just go to theqfilmcast.net. We're always happy to hear from you. Join us again next week. We're going to cue it up, knock it down. Ravenous. Going to cue it, going to review it. And until then, however you say, Mayday.